This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. We're here this morning to talk with Patty Hudson, and Patty is the Chief
wellness
Cook
coach.
Butter Wellness Course, and it's her company is called Patty, P-A-T-I-A. P-I-T-I, says 2711. And Patty and I traveled the retirement planning circuit as well as mid-career. But we're talking about all different phases here, and we're talking about transition. I mean, our company's name is National Institute of Transition Planning. So help me with transition, what we're going to do this morning. Are we going to just concentrate on transitioning from work to retirement, or are we going to cover it all?
We're going to cover it all. We're going to talk about life's transitions.
Okay. Should we start at the beginning of one's career? Or
Let's start sooner.
Okay. Okay.
Life's transitions. Transition basically means change, and two of the greatest stressors in life are change and loss of control, and a lot of changes that we have to make bring with it a measure of stress. So changes, transitions that are normal, that are natural. For instance, transitioning from a child and becoming a young adult, and then transitioning from being a young adult, perhaps being in college, and then going to the workplace. Those are types of transitions. Getting married, having children, anything that changes the footprint of our lives. Those are transitions. The transitions that are most difficult to navigate are transitions that we don't choose. Self-initiated transitions are easy. Transitions initiated by someone else, not so much.
Which brings to mind probably my most difficult, not that I'm on the couch here, was when I went to basic training. I had never been on an airplane. I got put on an airplane and landed at Fort Bragg. Now that, oddly enough, I liked, and I'm no physical specimen, but I enjoyed basic training. I didn't like the plane ride, but it was going to the unknown, and then the drill sergeant scream at you, and then after a while I go, you know, this is why I'm here, and that's fine. But during that period of time, it was like, ooh, what's going to happen? How should I have tried to overcome that or just jump in and say, hey?
I think that you did very well. I think it also has to do with the time in your life, because you were making a transition that you rated it as a positive transition because it was the military, but you knew that that was a stepping stone, that was going to be whatever, if you were going to continue with your career in the military or if you were going to get out and what the choices were. And that's the really big thing with transition, is attempting to find power and choice. And if you have a hard time being able to locate choices, being able to access choices, then you're going to have a difficult time with the transition.
Well, again, not that I'm on the couch here, but I think this is good overall. I met people in basic training from a lot smarter to a lot less smart. Not that I'm smart, but it was fun for me because I probably are never going to meet some of these other people again, but I got inside their heads. They got inside mine, stopped fights, me of all people, but it taught me how to deal with people, which actually set the course then for the rest of my life. thus far. I meet people, and, you know, maybe I don't want to know them again, but I was able to deal with them and not come come away with any bad feelings or harsh comments, and that was a life lesson.
Yes, and what I'm hearing, what you're describing, by the way, I love the way you caveat, not that I'm on the couch and not that I'm the best specimen. It's funny, Bob, but really, what you're saying is, and what I'm hearing you say, is that you took an attitude into basic training. You took an attitude with you, and that allowed you to be flexible. It allowed you to embrace all the different people that were there. It allowed you to view it as a positive experience. There, it was a natural transition in that way for you. It was a choice for you to go into the military, correct?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So talk about, it was a choice for you to go into the military, and when you made the decision to go into the military long-term, did you have any long-term goals, long-range goals? Did you plan on getting out and using the GI Bill?
My honest answer, to get out, because I knew that wasn't going to be what I wanted to do. Now, to be frank, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I thought I did, and I guessed right. But you know, I didn't see myself in a career situation. But the people and, you know, the drill sergeants, everybody was very anxious about them. And occasionally I would get one aside and say, why don't you leave this person alone? I had to do it very diplomatically because they froze when they got screamed at. And a couple times I said, thanks. That's as much as I might have gotten the whole 12 weeks, but thanks. Anyway, so...
So you helped people look at the big picture.
Yeah. Again, I'm not a physical specimen, but I was made a squad leader for whatever reason. And so I was actually a babysitter for some of them. They had never been away from their parents, or else they were shunned by their parents. And they were a little messed up, some normal ones, but more messed up ones. And, you know, you keep them out of harm's way, and then you go about your business.
Yeah. You did a really good job.
It was fun.
A leader is... wonderful thing to be, and you have to have followers to be a leader, so that's great. It's an expression my husband has.
All righty. So, you know, after, again, this is not me, but after that, somebody, like you say, they're in school, they're going to get out of school, and then they have to, whether that school be high school or beyond, doesn't make any difference. They leave school at one point and enter the work world.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do they do?
Okay. First of all, I think you have to assess where you are. So you have to say, okay, I'm 21 years old, or I'm 17 years old. I've got to do something. And what I say is make one step toward something. You may not even know what it is. You may not have a big plan, but you have to put action in place. You just mentioned that some people just froze when drill sergeants were screaming at them, and you were able to pull them aside and maybe do some explaining, maybe help with fear. And that's the big thing. With transition, there's a measure of fear. And if you can expect that, you can expect that measure of fear to come with it. You can talk yourself down, so to speak. And today, there's just, that information highway. Even if you're not somebody that is into feelings, okay, the information highway, you can type in, is this the way I'm supposed to feel? And you're going to get all different hits on, yeah, that's the way you're supposed to feel. And what I tell young people, particularly making that transition from, say, college, now what am I going to do? Because college is kind of a protected environment. And, you know, it's not the real world. It's a little bit scary when you first get there, but you know, once you have your legs, you understand, okay, I'm going to make friends with this person, that person. You have kind of a social network. So that is a little bit easier than transitioning out of college, especially if your education didn't provide a direct path. You know, for instance, you get out of college and you're a teacher. So now you kind of know, well, I got to get a job as a teacher. Maybe I can start with substituting. So transition with a plan is always a really good idea, but you have to accept that there's limitations, Okay? There's the unknown, and that's exactly what you hit on. You know, you don't know what to expect. And so if you can somehow settle yourself down and get out of the overwhelming fear, then you'll be able to see a little bit more clearly. And different people settle down in different ways. You know, some people do it on their own, and other people need a little bit of help to do that. So those are transitions that are expected.
Okay, now let's transition to the federal government. So somebody got through school, didn't get through school, but they joined the federal government for whatever reason. I would imagine they would accept a job that would be of interest to them rather than just accepting a job, although I'm sure there's some of those. But how does then the manager, or how does the newbie, if you will, talk to the manager to what glide path am I in? Or should they even be concerned about that at that point?
I mean, should are you saying the new employee talk to the employer?
Yeah, and say, these are my goals. Or maybe the employer says, you know, what are your goals? What should the new person be ready for if they're not thinking ahead and they don't have any goals? And they're asked, what are your goals? And you go, I don't know.
I don't know. I think most people today are pretty savvy when it comes to situations like that. And it's funny because when you're talking about you make a decision to work for the federal government, I think that probably the first thing that I would say to anybody that made that decision that actually had that job, the first thing, you got to be grateful. Right now, in our conditions, the conditions of our world right now, jobs are a little bit more difficult to come by. So, you know, you got a job. So I tell people, if you can access gratitude, if you can be grateful that, okay, I've got this step down, now I can focus on what's the next step. Because when you're in gratitude, you can't be in complaint. So you kind of can see a little bit better. Okay, where am I going now? And, you know, you don't always have an employer that's really interested in what your goals are. The employer is more interested in what you're going to do for the team.
Good point. I have a, it's not a case study. It's a young person. And this young person graduated from school and went to work for the government initially. And I guess smart, but got lost in the transition, if you will. It was kind of too big. Went out, private sector, and the private sector abused him. And he says, this is not right. So went back to work for the government and talked to him, oddly enough, about 2 weeks ago, and is absolutely thrilled. He's doing something. I don't mention agency names, but it's an agency that helps people, and he's thrilled with helping people. And you know, he's making good money, maybe not as much as he was making in the stress factory prior to coming in, but he goes home happy every night, he says, rather than with a pit in his stomach.
Uh-huh.
So he recognized, nah, I didn't like this, so I'll go over here and say, I definitely don't like this, I'm going to go back in and...
So he was doing exactly what he should have doing. Should have been doing. Because when you're young, I talk to a lot of young people, and they have these grandiose ideas of what they're going to do, about what they're going to do. They talk about, okay, I can't tell you how many times I've heard young people say, I know I was meant to do something extraordinary, especially when they graduate from college magna cum laude or summa cum laude. They expect that the world is going to recognize that they're stars. And what I say to them, ultimately, they go through a depression because the world does not recognize that they're stars. And so now they have to change their lens, so to speak. So what I say to them is, instead of concentrating on being extraordinary, concentrate on being ordinary and let the extraordinary come. Now, the example that you just gave of that young man that, you know, got in one agency, got out, that probably was one of the biggest lessons in his life, because he all of a sudden figured out, wow, I know what I don't want. Now I can focus on what I do want. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, you do something, you fail, okay, you pick yourself up and you say, all right, well, let me find something good from this experience. And I tell people that with transition. You know, when you find yourself in a situation, especially a life situation that you didn't invite, what I tell people to do is sit down, even if it takes you hours, and figure out three good things that may come out of this bad situation. So that young man, the example that you just gave, you know, he went into the private sector and realized, wow, this is definitely something I don't want. And then it sounds like he was able to get into an agency that had values similar to his. Helping people is one of his gifts, maybe. And being in an agency where he was able to use those gifts, that's positive reinforcement. So I think that he's doing very well.
Yeah.
Not everybody is that lucky.
When we talked two weeks ago, he said, I helped X number of people do X, Y, and Z. And
yeah.
he was all energized.
Yeah.
Not that he wasn't energized. He was always very pleasant, but he seemed to really find his...
You know, you can get into a conversation with someone, and it doesn't matter what age they are. First of all, kudos to you, Bob. I suspect you were one of his mentors, and maybe you didn't even know it. I suspect that you have that archetype. You just described it when you were in the military. But, you know, it's just when what you just described animated, I call that animated. When someone talks about something that excites them, they become, their energy changes. They become animated. And I always stop and say, glom onto that feeling, because what you're talking about right now is a job that if you can find a way to do that, to become employed from that position, you're never going to work a day in your life.
Define glom for the non-New Yorkers.
Latch on to it. Okay, if you can feel what that feeling is, if you can understand it, be aware of it. Wow, this really excites me. I'm really happy here. And, you know, I started a career and it was not my intent. My career, I never intended to be a business owner. I never intended to be a teacher. That's kind of not true, and that's another good point. When you're deciding where you want to be and what you want to do, certainly gather information from a lot of people, but hold on to your center, okay? Mm-hmm. So if your gut is telling you, I think I want to be a teacher, for instance, okay? Then you gather information from teachers, from peers, from whomever, your parents, wherever you can find an opportunity to ask a question about that profession. But if that's something deep, that's deep inside of you that you absolutely want to do, then I say pursue it.
Okay. What about somebody that, again, joins the federal government, doesn't, you know, yeah, I think I want to do this, but doesn't necessarily want it to challenge them to go to the next level. So they drift. And maybe they don't know they're drifting until it's too late. But, you know, what makes them want to do a better job, to climb the ladder? Listen, money isn't everything, but climb the ladder of within their job group. This person really knows X, Y, and Z. How do you get that person motivated? I'm going to do it from both sides. How does the manager get that person motivated? How does the individual, how do you reach into the, boy, this is shrink stuff, reach into the inner self and pull out the best parts?
As far as the manager getting the individual motivated, the manager can make suggestions. The manager can ask questions. But the desire to excel has to come from the individual. And that's why I say, you know, if they're in the government and they're just kind of drifting here or just kind of drifting there, for me, the manager would ask specific questions and tell me about where you might want to go with your particular position. Tell me what are some of your goals? Sometimes it's hard to talk to individuals, especially if there's a generation gap there. But I like to say to people, as a manager, if you can get your people in an informal setting where it doesn't feel like you're under the microscope or under a light and you're where you take that fear away, then you'll gather much more information from the individual. And perhaps that's a way for the manager to figure out and maybe even guide them out of that particular agency. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but maybe explore other agencies. That's kind of what you said about that example that you gave of that individual. I don't know if he went back to the same agency. I'm guessing
no,
he didn't.
No.
So, you know, maybe a better option for him would have been to have stayed with a job and then seek employment in different federal agencies, okay? But that wasn't his path. So I think that it was a him, right? It's
oh,
a him.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm.
I think that he made some wise decisions. Sometimes life teaches us.
Wow. I got my first job. I never thought I would like to in taxes. But I did, and this could be a message to some people. I ambled along, and I think I did okay. My goal was not to have a tax return put back on my desk with a bunch of red marks on it. And my boss, about 7 years into it, who was one tough cookie, but I go to my grave thanking him. He said, "You haven't got your CPA yet," and I go, "No, I'm having too much fun." Get it? That was it. And I got it. And he was not the most he was eloquent, but not when he wanted you to do something. But mm-hmm. It was a great lesson. Otherwise, I'd be drifting as we speak today.
Well, there's a leader.
Yeah,
he was a teacher, a mentor. You've got it all in one package right there. Mm-hmm. And yes, you're going to go to your grave because otherwise you'd be one of those employees out there flailing around. But you see, sometimes if you're ready to pay attention, and it sounds like you were in every circumstance of your life, but sometimes if you're ready to pay attention, you'll hear the teacher. If you're not ready, if you're not in that, I call it having bananas in your ears. If you've got bananas in your ears, you're not going to hear, and you're going to take another path. And you may be one of those people that say, "I wish I had."
Yeah.
My dad, when I was 17 and I graduated from high school, I did pretty well in high school. I was a social butterfly, but I had good grades and was up for lots of challenges. And when I was applying to colleges, my father said to me, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "I want to be a teacher." And he said, "You can't do that." He said, "You're too smart." And he said, "You need to do something else." And so I say to people, listen but detach. I did not do well with pulling the plug on my father's opinion. Okay, I ended up going about my career. I call it the long way around. Okay, but I knew that there were certain values that I had, okay? I wanted to be married. I wanted to get married. I wanted to have children. I loved kids. I wanted to be in a career that would allow me to have a little bit of flexibility, okay? So teaching, think about it. Teaching, you got your summers off. Every time it snows outside and there's a snow day, you're home with your kids. You got holidays off. For me, because of my value system and where I wanted to be, it would have been the perfect transition. The perfect transition. Okay? So what ends up happening, I did not do that. I majored in psychology, and I minored in teaching, but I didn't stay that course. And so when I graduated, I got married very young, and I'm like, okay, I don't even know what's next. And so in my opinion, from my perspective, I had limited options. Okay, so you were blessed. You were able to have mentors in your life that helped you see the path. For me, it was a little bit more difficult. And what I tell people all the time, especially in transition seminars, is when I begin a seminar, I'll say to them, find three things to be grateful for every single day. I don't care what it is, you know, just find things to be grateful for. And I'll say to them, I'll give you one right now. You're sitting in a seminar. It's a retirement seminar. It's a mid-career seminar. It's a beginning career seminar. Whatever it is, if you have a retirement, you have a pension, okay? I'm a teacher, but I don't have a pension. So you have to kind of have this vision, if you will. And it starts inside. And teachers are powerful, because they can help guide children in a way that helps them to see, what are my choices here? And, you know, if you go on a specific path and you don't like it, well, then you try something else. I tell parents, only two things you can do for your kids. You can give them wings and roots, okay? And that's about it. And if they say to you, they graduate from college and they say to you, I want to be an actor or I want to be an actress. And you're the parent rolling your eyes and saying, you know, be real. What I say is let them go. Let them go. Just tell them, here's the deal. You got to pay the bills. You got to pay the bills. Don't let me see you in the garbage with cut off gloves looking for something to eat. You got to pay the bills.
So how does a manager take that philosophy into helping the newbie or the
hopefully,
person?
Hopefully, what I would say is hopefully in a managerial position, a good manager learns to listen and asks the right questions and does give a bit of a push, okay? So that's what I would say. If in that circumstance, the manager got to that position, the manager then has to assume that he has some responsibilities for guiding and helping to develop these employees. And he has to accept that. And I think good managers do. Obviously, your mentor, manager, was fabulous for you.
Rough cookie, 9 to 5. After 5, he was fine. 9 to 5.
But listen to what you just said. Yeah. After 5, he was fine.
Yeah. So not many knew that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, we should have some callers. 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. And you can ask us about transition planning on either side of the fence. You can ask us some tax and finance if you want. Please tread lightly on Social Security and benefits, but probably can take a good guess at that. Anyway, 202-465-3080. So again, both sides of the fence, beginning part of one's career, we should listen to guidance, if there is guidance. And if we're on the managerial side, we should provide guidance. Within a limited degree. And, you know, today's world's a little different than it was when it was my world. Uh-huh. you can't say
that's
as many
point.
Things, yeah, as which could then, even though the message was just as good and probably more easily understood if it was in your face. And then mid-career now. We're mid-career. We've got experiences that we like or don't like, and we're still in the same job, or we want to move to another job, but we don't necessarily want to take we want a lateral. But sometimes laterals aren't there, but if we feel that we have a particularly strong skill, like this other person, and I'll go over there and I'll take a step back because I can take many steps forward. How do you talk them off the ledge there? Because you get wedded to a certain compensation level, and $100 or $200 less a year. I'm not doing that when in the grander scheme of things, that's not a ton of money for the rest of your life if you're mid-career.
Okay, so I'm not real clear. So you're saying that this person is in a job and they're comfortable in the job. Go ahead.
But it's not. It doesn't challenge me. I can't think of three things to be grateful for each day on my job. I might be grateful for health. Might be grateful for good friends.
Okay.
So kind of stuff.
Then you. What I would say. Now, are you looking for the manager to
No, it's for both sides. The manager may not even know.
Or care.
Yeah, the manager might be, okay, they're just adrift, and that's okay. They get this job done for me, and that's fine. But the other one is saying, it's okay, but, I'd like to do better. Especially in today's world, for this person looking downstream at the ones that are pre-retirement, they're saying, I need to get a little bit more money. I need a higher high three. Mid-career, I got an opportunity to change it, and if I can do both, and everything isn't money, but I want to be happy. Some people that know me might laugh at that. I'm not a money grubber, but people think I'm motivated by it.
Well,
I like to be happy with it.
I have to say, who isn't motivated by money?
Yeah.
Who isn't motivated by money? I mean, that may not be your quote-unquote God. I don't know. In a situation like that, I would say to people, let me go to Hollywood for a minute. Matthew McConaughey in his speech, his acceptance speech for the Academy.
Was that great?
Pardon me?
Was that great?
Unbelievable. What he said is you have to, every day you have to wake up and want to chase something. You know, and what he said was, when someone asked him, who do you admire? Who's your hero? Okay, me in 10 years. And then in 10 years, who's your hero? Well, me in another 10 years, okay? So it's kind of always perfecting on perfection, so to speak, and it's allowed him to become extremely successful. So I think you kind of have to set internal goals, and you also have to have a plan. You have to have a plan. You have to say, all right, I want it to be at this point. I'm not there yet. What can I do to get there? Okay. And if it's within a government agency, I'm not real familiar. You're much more familiar with what the lateral moves would be or what the ladder moves would be. So I'm not real familiar with that, but I am familiar with individuals. And I know that motivation, the two greatest motivators are comfort and validation. So it gets a little tricky and a little complicated because you have to go through discomfort to get to comfort, and you have to go through questioning and not being validated to get to a place where people recognize and validate you. That's exactly what McConaughey was talking about, okay? And always having something to chase, okay? What are you chasing? What I tell people is think of your goals, think of them like a clock, okay? So what's your 12 o'clock? So your 12 o'clock is one of your goals. So your 1 o'clock is action that you take toward that goal, all right? And it may be very small, okay, but it's action you take toward that goal. And you stay at that 1 o'clock for a while, and then you realize that, okay, I'm comfortable now. I need to go to 2 o'clock. And maybe you gauge it with your comfort level. Maybe you gauge it by your comfort level. Maybe you say, all right, I'm too comfortable. I want to challenge myself. If I want to get to a position or to a point where I'm making more money, then here is what I need to do. Okay? And then that maybe that's your 2 o'clock. Okay? So you kind of develop a plan on your own. I call it the focus wheel. So you're always focused on your 12 o'clock. So I say to people in any seminar, whether you're beginning career, mid-career, end of career, what's your 12 o'clock? Got to have a 12 o'clock.
Okay, well, let's progress out of mid-career, and we'll take the glide path to retirement. Okay, I'm pretty happy with what I do. I'm real happy with what I do. I sure hope I'm not unhappy with what I do. But I got 5 years, I got 7 years, I got 3 years to get to 12 o'clock on the other side. Which one look for? What do I do in retirement? Some people don't want to retire. Just talked to somebody in class last week. They're 87 and thrilled, but it's time to go. But still on top of their game. Not many are sitting in those classes at 87, but there are a number of them sitting in there. They say, I want to leave just to leave, and others say, well, it's time to go, but I don't want to go. So how do I talk to the one that, well, I want to leave, but for no good reason other than I want to leave? They don't like the job. They don't like the stress. They don't like the boss. They don't like the mission. What did they do? Well, it's too late for them to do too much, or is it?
No. I think and what I say to people is you have no idea what your capabilities are. Most people get into a position, and when they think about what can I do, they focus on the tip of the iceberg. They look at it from the perspective of, okay, this is what I've done for 20 years. So now I'm going to retire, but I'm going to be a consultant in that same field. And it always makes me smile because they're telling me that they want to leave their job because they're fed up and they don't want the pressure and they don't want this and they don't want that and they don't want this. And then instead of looking at the, I liken it to a picture of your life, a tapestry, if you will, of your life, okay? And if you look at the back of the tapestry, it's a mess, okay? It's all, and I say that's all the mishmash you have to go through to get to a certain point. But the front, when it's done, there's going to be a picture, okay? What kind of picture do you want to see? What do you think you're capable of doing? You've got to kind of look beneath the surface and figure out, what are the skills that got me here, okay? And what are my opportunities? And then you have to be brave enough to take those steps. And that's where it gets tricky. You know, we stay with what's familiar. And what I like to say to people is challenge yourself. You're not looking at the experiences that you've had in your life that qualify you for a completely different job, or maybe not a job at all, maybe a volunteer situation. The one thing that you have to do, whether you're 20 or you're 60, you have to refurbish your energy, if you will. And the thing that does that, accomplishments, okay, creativity, that is a great energy boost. And I talk to people all the time who are in a retirement situation, and a lot of them, the wonderful thing about a retirement seminar is we ask the questions. Whether the questions are financial, or the questions are, what do you do if you die? Or the questions are, what are you going to do next? Are you ready to give up that identity? Okay? We ask the questions. And when you ask the questions, you allow, it's a gift, because you allow that person to think. You allow them to think. And if you ask the right questions, you open up a what-if situation. I just told the story in the seminar the other day about a man who was in an accident, skiing accident. He was skiing and a boat was out of control, cut his foot off. And he was 21 years old. And they fit him with a prosthesis. And it was one of those wooden foot, okay, if you will, wooden feet. Hmm. And it didn't bend well. And he started observing that. And it bugged him. And so he asked the question. He said, why is there not a foot that allows me more mobility, more freedom? And he decided that he would major in engineering, the type of engineering that would allow him to create these prosthetics, okay? So he asked the question, why not? And then he asked the question, what if? If you can get from the why not to the what if, the logical question after that is how. And that's his path. He developed the blade. And you've all seen
really?
That. Okay, you've all seen it. All right. Not that this gentleman's in a lot of trouble, but Pistorius has the blades. And so does this man who is now in his late 50s, maybe mid-50s. I might be aging him. But he asked the question, and he did some inventory. And what he did, in essence, is he turned his situation into a positive for millions of people. Okay? Now, not everybody is going to do that, but you're all going to have an impact. You know, whether the situations that are disturbing, really disturbing, the transitions that are really disturbing are these kinds of situations. All of a sudden, you know, life is wonderful, and you're in a family, and catastrophic illness happens. That happened in my family. You know, we're nice first-generation Italian family with extended family, and all of a sudden, my mother goes into the hospital. I'm 12 years old, and within 4 years, she's confined to a wheelchair. Mm. And she kind of quit being mom. Okay? So that's a hard situation. And you have to take a look at, all right, what are my choices in this situation? Another one is, all right, you're 56 years old. You've decided that you're never going to have a career and that what you really want to do is raise kids and stay home and be a traditional mom. Okay? And then all of a sudden, you're faced with a divorce. Or you have a parent that moves back in, that moves in with you. All of those kinds of situations alter your world. I have a dear friend who has an absolutely beautiful daughter, and she fell off a ladder. And her mother took her to the orthopedic surgeon because she was complaining about her back. The orthopedic surgeon said she's 16 years old. She's fine. It's muscular. So my friend's daughter woke up and was screaming with pain. And my friend, thankfully, is a nurse with a will of iron, and she took her to Albany Medical Center, and she demanded that they do an MRI. And they did an MRI, and she received a diagnosis. My daughter had Ewing sarcoma, okay, which is pretty much a death sentence at that time. And my friend said that the oncologist said to her, she's got a 50% chance of living and a 50% chance of dying. So my friend said, all right, now I know what's wrong. That's a good thing, okay? Now I've got to make a decision. Am I going to align with the 50% that says that she's going to make it, or am I going to align with the 50% that says she's going to die? In other words, am I going to have faith or fear? So then my friend took action. She made sure that her daughter was surrounded by positive things. They only watched positive movies. She was with her during the chemo, the 14 months of chemotherapy. She was with her. She told the nurses, no one will tell my daughter that she's going to die. Okay? No one is allowed to do that. She controlled the environment as much as she could. She would not allow her daughter to be in crowds, blah, blah, blah. Well, That's the action part. On my way here, I just talked to her, and I said, I will be talking about you today, because her daughter is now 27 years old and driving her nuts. Okay? So, but look at that. How do you explain that? And here's the best part of that, okay? Every time I say something about, wow, what a blessing, you know, she aligns with the action part of it, the scientific part of it, okay? And so it's just interesting, but I tell her all the time, Kelly would not have been alive if it wasn't for you. That wouldn't have happened. She allowed her daughter, through her faith, to have hope. And she viewed that circumstance as, wow, okay, now I know what's wrong. I have a choice.
All right, now that's an example of a strong personality, if you will, taking over for somebody young that may or may not have a strong personality. But what about, again, the pre-retiree that doesn't have a strong personality and has kind of drifted through and then they're not paid people? They did a good job, and they don't know what to do when they're not working anymore, but they don't want to work anymore. You know, I'm sure I've seen some people talk about retirees that are more busy in retirement than what they were on the job, and then others become, you know, that's extreme couch potatoes and are gone in 5 years. And then there's some in between. So how do you get the one that would otherwise just waste away?
Staying on the job?
Yeah, well, they're going to leave. They're going to leave, but they don't know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get through to them that, you know, you got to do something other than wake up and go, quote, play golf or, you know, go shopping or you know, meet their friends for lunch?
Well, the good news about that is most people do figure it out, and interestingly enough, within 9 months. How do you like that?
Really?
Yeah, they do. Most people do figure out what the next step is going to be. Well, what I tell people is take a look at your personality. In which situations will you be most comfortable? A big problem with retirement is visibility. Okay? All of a sudden, you go from being visible, even if you're in a situation where you hate your coworkers and you hate your boss, you're still visible, okay? And you go from a situation where you're validated because guess what? You pick up a paycheck every 2 weeks, all right? Or maybe you're validated on the job. So what I say is take a look at, be in touch with who you are because that's where you're going to find the next step. And you got to figure out, what do you want to do? Is there enough money to retire? And if there's not, what would you consider doing? It has to be self-initiated. You can ask people. You can make a retirement seminar fantastic. You can tell them, okay, this is what you need to do with your money. This is what you need to do with your will, this is what you need to do with taxes, these are all the things you need to do, and this is what you need to think about in retirement. Are you ready to give up that identity? Okay, because what happens is you have to let go sooner or later, and then embrace the gap. The gap is the time where you don't have an identity. Something will come from that nothing. Have the faith that something will come from that nothing and start paying attention. That's what I tell people to do. It doesn't always work. I mean, again, it's the individual. Some people, termination of retirement means they go back to work.
Ooh. Patty, I have to be frank. I have not looked at the outline the whole time. Basically, when Patty comes in, you say good morning, but and then you say good afternoon when the show is over. But the last bullet point, I just haven't looked down. I said, did we cover all this? And you got this last thing, and you mentioned it, but celebrating the progress. And, you know, progress, we've got about 4 minutes left.
Okay,
so,
celebrating the process, yeah. I think it says.
Process?
Yes,
oh.
I think
yeah,
it was supposed
read.
To be process, but celebrating the process. That be willing to embrace what's next. And in order to celebrate, to embrace what's next, once again, I sorry, but you have to take a look at it and be grateful. You know, I tell young people, and I like giving this example. There was a young girl, I went into a store, and I'm asking her, okay, these are boyfriend jeans, and these are relaxed boyfriend jeans, and what's the difference? And she said, oh, well, these allow a little bit more room in the thigh. I have horrible, ugly thighs. And so you know, and I stopped her right there. People think I'm a little strange, but I stopped her right there, and I said, do not waste time sweating the small stuff, because you're going to miss your moment. You only get to be 22 once. You only get to be 42 once. You only get to be 52 once. You only get to be 70 once. And hopefully you're going to get to be 80, 90, and 100 once. Okay? So celebrate where you are and think of where you might want to go. Celebrate your life.
Wow. I'm going to go celebrate being whatever age I am today. And hopefully I get to celebrate next year, too, and the year after and the year after.
I tell people, and I want to leave you with this. I tell people, in the morning, look in the mirror. Take all your clothes off and look in the mirror and say, I love you. I really do. And that's where it starts.
It's a great way to end. The power of positive thinking. My mother always told me about that. She was not necessarily like that, but there was some book, The Power of Positive Thinking. Anyway, this has been a pleasure, as usual.
For me, too, yeah. As always.
Yeah, thanks for cheering up the week. And maybe we should play this again next week. Next week, by the way, it's going to be a recorded show. I don't know which it is, but it's Memorial Day, and we figured that maybe there won't be a lot of people listening. I don't know why, but anyway, till next time, and I don't know the show that's going to be on after that, but it's time for us to say goodbye. Thanks, Patty.
You're very welcome. Good luck, everybody.
And thanks for listening, y'all. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.